13 out of the 14 possible deals have been agreed upon to avoid arbitration for your Milwaukee Brewers. We will take a look at those. You'll hear my thoughts on them. Plus, who was the only one not to agree to terms? Are we worried yet? Plus, a Tuesday edition of Mailbag Questions. You asked and I'll answer. Stay tuned in. You are Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Brewers fans, welcome into the Locked On Brewers podcast. Thank you for always making the Locked On Brewers your first listen each and every single day. Do not forget we are free and available on all podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, and of course, there are a dozen others. If you can go ahead and leave a review on whichever platform you use, I would greatly appreciate it. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just search at Locked On Brewers. We are less than 60 subscribers away from 1,000. So any and all support is appreciated over there. And we are also now on Facebook. Get all of our content on your daily news feed each and every day. Just search at Locked On Brewers Podcast over there on Facebook. Going on month number two, I am your host, Brandon Snide. I call myself the fan with a mic in my face, a lifelong and diehard Milwaukee Brewers fan, recording this podcast just minutes away from American Family Field. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon underscore Snide. I really, really appreciate you allowing me to steal some of your time to sit here and talk about our Milwaukee Brewers in the dead of winter. It is January, but we are still talking about the Brewers. Pitchers and catchers report a month away from now, so we're getting closer there to the start of the season. As always, Locked On Brewers is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Last week, it was a busy week for the Milwaukee Brewers, agreeing to 13 out of the possible 14 deals to avoid arbitration. Let's do this, Brewers fans. We're going to go player by player who was due a contract, who was dealing an arbitration case, had terms not been agreed upon. We are going to go by player. We're going to go what they were projected to get and what they were agreed upon as of last week. These are projections. I'll give you the projections first. They are from Matt Schwartz, who's a part of Fangraphs over there. And we're going to start with Mike Brasseau, who was projected to get $1.2 million. He did agree with the Milwaukee Brewers at 1.4. I don't think that's a bad deal whatsoever. Just over what he was projected to get. Next is Matt Bush at $2 million, coming in at $1.8 million for Matt Bush. I like that for the Milwaukee Brewers. You imagine and hopeful that Matt Bush turns it around from where he was a season ago. Keston Hira, who's going to be part of our mailbag questions here later on in the show, a good question from UK Brew Crew over there on Twitter regarding Keston Hira, who was projected to get $2 million. He agreed at $2.2 million. I think his future, we can all agree, is still a little bit of a question mark. But nonetheless, he did agree with the Brewers just over his projection. We'll move on to Eric Lauer, who had a decent year last year, projected to get $5.2 million. He agrees at just over $5 million, an absolute solid agreement. I think Eric Lauer, and there's another question regarding Eric Lauer, for the Milwaukee Brewers, I think he spot him somewhere in that starting five rotation for the Milwaukee Brewers. I think he had a solid year last year. And fan favorite, who is another guy who's going to be the center of a question, Mr. Rowdy Tellez. Rowdy. He was projected to get $5.3 million. He agreed at $4.95, so a solid agreement there for the Milwaukee Brewers, coming in at just under $400,000 for the projection. There is next up Luis Urias with a $4.3 million projection. He comes in at 4.7. Brandon Woodruff was the big one, if you want to say, as far as who agreed to deals, projected at $11 million, coming in at just under that. So the Brewers, you can kind of see a little bit of a trend here. They're hitting a lot of those projections. They're actually going underneath, agreeing at 10.8. Brandon Woodruff for the Milwaukee Brewers, a 1 year, $10.8 million deal, which you get out of Brandon Woodruff. That's darn good. We'll head over to Victor Caratini, who is projected to get 2.8, and that's exactly what he and the Milwaukee Brewers agreed to, $2.8 million. Adrian Hauser, who is also subject to one of our mailbag questions, projected to get $3.6 million, and that is exactly what he agreed at $3.6 million. Overall, we've got a few guys left on this list, but I like a lot of these and most of these deals for the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, of course, there's going to be some roster changes throughout the course of the season, but overall, these are really good numbers, especially Brandon Woodruff. Let's see here. We got Hobie Milner, your high-leverage lefty, your special guy out of the bullpen who, outside of Ethan Small, Aaron Ashby probably should start, and we'll get into a little bit of that. He's your high-leverage lefty, projected at $1.1 million. He agreed just over $1 million, so another solid agreement there. Abraham Toro, who was part of that Colton Juan trade not too long ago, and we've talked to a few people who Adam Kunos, who part of the bullpen podcast, who's really high on Abraham Toro. Ben Ranieri, who was covered the Seattle Mariners a year ago, was really high on Abraham Toro. He was projected to get $1.2 million, and that's exactly what he and the Brewers agreed to at $1.2 million. Devin Williams, who at some point is going to get paid, back up the Brinks truck. I mean, the dude's just going to get absolutely paid. He was projected at $3.2 million. He and the Brewers agreed a little bit over that at $3.35. I think every single Brewers fan, anybody that covers baseball, can agree. He is worth every single penny. And I know I've been hard on Devin Williams regarding the closer position. I hope he's the closer. I just had my reservations regarding how that year ended, and hopefully the hater trade and everything gets past him. And mentally he knows his role, and he's going to go in and he's going to be what he does. And that's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. And Willy Adames, who was projected to get $9.2 million starting shortstop, who you traded for almost two years ago, actually signed for $8.7 million. So Willy Adames under arbitration projection. Good. Let's see who else. Matt Bush was under. Eric Lauer was under. Rowdy Tellez was under. Brandon Woodruff was under. And we can't forget Victor Caratini, who, I don't know if I said him or not, but he was projected to get 2.8. That's exactly what he got, 2.8. But there's one guy who has not agreed to a pre-arbitration contract. Now, let's back up with these arbitration. These are the potential for major league organizations, in this case, the Milwaukee Brewers, to go to that player who's due arbitration case and strike a deal prior to going in front of a court and basically talking bad about each other is essentially what it boils down to, if we're calling it what it is. And so the Brewers did that. 13 out of 14 is not bad, but there's one guy that did not. And I think we all are at this point are fully aware who that was. I took a ton of heat over there on social media regarding who did not sign his pre-arbitration deal. Corbin Burnes, your Cy Young award winner in 2021, threw over 200 pitches a season, or 200 innings a season ago. I know I'm in the minority, it seems like, with a lot of you guys. A lot of you guys don't really necessarily think he's worth the money. I shouldn't say a lot. It's probably 50-50. I think a lot of you understand the importance of a guy like Corbin Burnes. You obviously appreciate watching him pitch for our favorite team. He's just so dominant. He's so reliable. You know every time he goes on that mound exactly what you're getting at. And he was projected to get 11 and just under 11.4. I don't know where the negotiations are. I don't know where the numbers were. I don't know. I think it was somewhere where the Brewers offered him just over $10 million, which, if you're Corbin Burnes, and I know this is a process, and people will correct me on YouTube, and you'll correct me in the social media aspect of this, and tell me that, you know, it's a process, it's a business. And I don't care. I really don't. I think you got to throw that out the window and understand what a guy like Corbin Burnes can do, not only for your organization, but for your city, for your team going forward, for the future. And I know that whatever penny amount, dollar amount he's going to get is going to be high. I know, and we might not probably see that here in Milwaukee, right? He's probably not going to get that here in Milwaukee if they're not close in arbitration money. And by all accounts, it shows that they were over $1 million away from arbitration. Actually, no, he was projected to get 10.7. And the Brewers offered him 10.1, roughly around there. So it was like $740,000 in difference away from a green. And I just think that when you got a guy like Corbin Burnes and $740,000 is the difference, you got to meet him there, right? that's something that if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, you got to be like, okay, this is our guy. This is our ace. This is our workhorse. This is our number one. If we're going into a NLDS, an NLCS, a World Series, he's getting the ball game one. He's getting the ball game seven. Like, he is that dude for your organization. So it was upsetting to see the Brewers not agree to terms, and there is still time for them to agree. You hope something along the lines gets worked out, but we'll get to it in the mailbag part of the episode. I do think he's going to be a trade candidate for the Milwaukee Brewers, whether I agree with that or not, but I'll digress on that. So there you have it. For the most part, those deals are done. Like I said, the lone player who we were just talking about that had not agreed to terms, it sounded like there was about a difference of $740,000, to correct myself from earlier. Cy Young Award winner, your ace, Corbin Burns, and hopefully with the time that that gets fixed, and we'll see. I hope, at least for the Brewers' sake, for my fandom, my mental health here, for as being the Brewers fan, you'd think that that would be something that they can come to terms with. And look, then we'll all be happy. But I'll digress on that. But coming up next, one of my favorite things that we do on this show. It is absolutely one of my best. It's a good opportunity for me to interact with you. And what we do here on the Locked On Brewers, we usually do it on Mondays. The schedule for the offseason has been kind of weird. It's been up and down. But here on the Locked On Brewers, we call it Mailbag Questions. It's usually Mailbag Monday. We'll do a Mailbag Tuesday edition here. You asked, and I'll do my best to answer. But first, before we go over all of those questions, I have to tell you about my folks over at betonline.net. It is the number one source for sports betting info, news, stats, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football, college basketball, NBA is in full action. They've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, I've told you guys this before, this podcast needs to be your first love. Then you can find the rest over there at betonline.net as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your sports betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On Brewers your first listen. For your next listen, check out the MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he is going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It is free and available wherever you get your podcast. All right, you asked, and I'll do my best to answer. You've waited long enough, so let's jump right in to the questions. And today, let's see, January 17th, we're going to start with Graham on Twitter, who has a terrific profile picture of Jair Alexander doing the gritty. So shout out to Graham. And he's over there on Twitter, and he asks, if no one gets traded, how do you think the starting rotation shakes out after the big three? He's talking about Miley, Hauser, Lauer, Ashby, Small. Oh, that's a great question. Now, the big three, obviously, we're going with Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta. I think we can all agree with that. I think then if you're looking at your current lineup, your current bullpen versus your starters, I'd go with Miley as your fourth option. And if I have to follow him by somebody, as based off of last year, it's tough for me to go away from Ashby, but I'm torn between Lauer and Ashby because I really do think Ashby has the stuff to start. Now, I think there's going to be some movement. I think Craig Counsell is going to probably shake things up, right? He doesn't want to see righty, 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 lefty, lefty, lefty. And maybe you see Miley in the third spot and you move Peralta to the fourth spot and kind of mix stuff around there. But I do think it's going to be Miley and insert Lauer or Ashby. And I wouldn't be shocked to see either one in there. Small, another good question, another highly touted prospect out of Mississippi State for the Milwaukee Brewers. I think he's going to come out of the bullpen. He struggled in that starting spot last year, although it wasn't a whole lot of starts, but I think he'll come out of the bullpen. And I've said it before, I'll keep saying it again. I think Aaron Ashby, who agreed to a cheap deal throughout the course of the offseason, has the stuff to start. I do. I think he has the stuff to start. I think you'll see a lot of movement around this rotation. We're not strangers to the game of baseball, really to sports in general. There's going to be injuries. So I think you're going to see guys filter in and out throughout the course of the season. But for now, that's how I see it. I think there's a trade, like I mentioned, that's probably going to happen throughout the course of now and insert any date prior to the start of the season. But that's a great question, Graham, and way to start us out. Thank you for that submission. Next up is Lori on Facebook, and she asks, how much value does Adrian Hauser have for a trade? We kind of talked about this with Connor Newcomb from the Locked On Orioles podcast last Wednesday. So if you missed that episode, you can check that out. But to be quite frank, not much, in my opinion, right? Not much. Look at a guy who only threw 101 innings a season ago. Injuries seem to be a common theme throughout, Adrian Hauser. ERA plus was well below league average. His whip was just over 1.4, which isn't ideal for a starting pitcher in this rotation or really in any rotation. I think if you're looking at the best part about a guy like Adrian Hauser is one, he's a veteran, right? You know what you're going to get. You know what to expect out of him. He's pitched in the playoffs. And maybe the most important part of getting a guy like Adrian Hauser is he's on a cheap deal. Like we've talked about at the beginning of the show, who agreed to a deal prior to arbitration at $3.6 million. So he's affordable, especially for a team that might want to add a 4-5 starter, maybe a long reliever out of their bullpen. So it would not shock me to see a guy like Adrian Hauser traded for a young prospect, an unproven prospect that can come through the ranks for the Milwaukee Brewers. But I don't think there's a whole lot of value there. But I could be wrong, and I've been wrong, and I'll continue to be wrong. But I don't see a ton of value in a guy like Adrian Hauser, who I do like. However, just has to show me more in order to bring that value up just a little bit. And let's see here. We got time for one more. Let's do one more. And this one is from Jesse, who is a huge fan of the show. Always, always appreciate Jesse. I always appreciate the interactions. He has the best questions. He has the best tweets. He keeps me involved with all things happening. Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers, which seem to be at the top of the news cycle here for Wisconsin fans. So Jesse's over there on Twitter, and he asks, who is your wife and daughter's favorite Brewers player? So a family question from Jesse. That's a good one. I do like we can talk a lot about the X's and O's of baseball and the numbers and the analytics and games and trade scenario. We talk about all that kind of stuff. It's fun to get into the personal type questions, which I enjoy. So if you want to drop those, don't be a stranger to it. Let's see. My daughter loved Josh Hader, but obviously maybe she should stop liking Brewers because he didn't stick around. And I think as the season kind of went on last year, she struggles to watch games on TV. I think most kids probably do. It just kind of gets a little bit boring for them. Some adults get bored with it. So I think, but she did like Willy Adames. I think it's like the bright batting gloves, the bright cleats, the energy on the field. And as far as my wife goes, it's Rowdy Tellez, and it's two things, because the Rowdy chant, which reminds her of the Bobby Portis chant for the Milwaukee Bucks, the Rowdy, Rowdy. You heard me starting that during the arbitration chat at the beginning of the show. So Rowdy Tellez for my wife's. And then the other part is she said he hits the good home runs. He hits the clutch home runs. So really hard to argue with either one of those. I think both of those are players that are going to have to be big contributors. I think they're going to be big contributors throughout the course of 2023. And hopefully Willie gets paid. And by the looks of it, most good shortstops are going to get paid. So great questions. Great questions. Thank you again for your participation. I'll continue to answer these. But first, are you guys looking for a delicious treat that don't want all the fat and all the calories? Don't go grab the bag of chips. Don't grab the cookies out of the jar. You got to try a Built Bar. I'm telling you, they've gone through the holidays. We've all been through it. I know for me, my goal was to eat a little bit healthier this year. And if you're like me and you want to eat healthier, but you just don't want to compromise taste, then I have the thing for you. You have got to try Built. With Built, healthy is an actual taste. It's real. It is so good. They are so delicious. You're going to think when you bite into this thing, it's a candy bar. But I'm telling you, they're perfect for your New Year's resolution. I know we're about coming on 3 weeks after New Year's, but you could start now. It's fine. You're probably sitting there thinking, what makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they are all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right. I'm telling you right now, 100% real chocolate. I thought it was a real candy bar, and they come in unbelievably flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. Really not sure how they do it, but these Built Bars taste like a candy bar. Like I've mentioned before, they are amazing. But the best part about tasting like a candy bar, they maintain amazing macros, and that's even what makes them better. They're actually healthy for you. It's not a Snickers bar. It's an actual really good candy bar with only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now You do not need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk up to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box, maybe two, of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to a Sam's Club, which I think most of us probably are, you can run in and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. The questions are flowing in, and I'll get to a few more here before the end of the show. I cannot thank you all enough for your participation in these. Without you guys, mailbag shows aren't possible, so your questions are so much appreciated. Let's get right back to it and continue with our friend across the pond, UK Brew Crew on Twitter. His question is Keston Hira's future in Milwaukee? A hot topic of this offseason, UK Brew Crew, and I think you know the answer to this. I think I know the answer to this, and my answer is no. I do not think he is. If you follow me on Twitter at Brandon underscore Snide, if you've listened to this podcast, I love Keston Hira. I do. I mean, when he was coming up through the minor leagues, I was so excited for Keston Hira. I was thrilled for him. I was excited for not only him, but for us, right? As Brewers fans, comes up, hits that clutch home run against the Cubs in 2019. He had a magical year in 2019, 54 doubles. I mean, he was just on fire. And you felt like that was the offensive piece with losing guys like Moustakas and Grandal and Braun that could help that 1-2 punch with Christian Yelich in the lineup. And it just never really came to fruition. And it sucks. And look, he can't hit left-handed pitching, right? That was obvious last year, which as a right-handed bat, you kind of need to, right? If you're going to split time, you kind of need to be able to hit right hand or left-handed pitcher as a right-handed batter. Now, if you look, you ask me about last year, I don't think management did him any favors, up and down, in and out of the lineup. I think that was probably indicative really on where the Craig Council, where the David Stearns is kind of thought of what he was going to be for the future and what his potential future would look like. I would not be surprised to see a trade. If you've missed the episode about a month and a half ago, David Gasper from Reviewing the Brew was on here to talk about him, and he agreed that he thinks Keston Hira is pretty much up for trade, and what that return is kind of like what you would imagine in Adrian Hauser trade, a low-level prospect, maybe some cast considerations. I know Fangraphs had him splitting time with Rowdy Tellez at first. I guess it's possible, right? I just don't think it's going to be an everyday thing with him. I think you're going to see a lot of Jesse Winker. You're going to see Christian Yelich. And I know those are all left-handed bats. However, I think you're going to see them eventually go off and get Keston Hira to a place where he can be successful. And I think right now in Milwaukee, that's kind of where he is mentally, just needs a fresh start. But I don't think his future is in Milwaukee, which is unfortunate because he was a guy that I was really high on and a guy that I was happy to see up in the major leagues. But great question from UK Brew Crew. Next up is from Rich on Twitter, who asks, if Burns' extension is not happening, when do you trade him? Before the season or at the trade deadline, maybe even at the end of the season? Great question over there from Rich on Twitter. Here's my answer. If it's up to me, and if you've listened to this podcast before, if you follow me on Twitter at Brandon underscore Snide, I want to sign Corbin Burns, right? I've been on that train. There's some of us out there, a lot of us out there, maybe not. Regardless, I am on the train that needs to say, hey, I want to sign Corbin Burns, whatever train that is. However, that isn't the question, right? So I'll digress on exactly how I feel about Corbin Burns. However, if it is up to me, you have to gauge, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, if you're newly touted president of baseball operations, Matt Arnold, you're Craig Council, you're Mark Cantanasio, you have to gauge as a professional, as part of your job, when is the value the highest, right? We all do that. When do I trade in my car? When is the value the highest? We've had this conversation before with each other, just not on a Corbin Burns level or an MLB level. Now, he's a guy who has 2 years of control, right? He's coming off a solid season last year, obviously won the Cy Young in 2021. He pitched over 200 innings last year, a 0.9 whip, which is incredible. ERA plus was 134. To put that in perspective, league average is about 100. So for any team, he's a major add. And you add that 2 years of control, that's even more. I would say his value right now is the highest, right? They haven't come to an agreement through arbitration. You hope that that changes course. But as of now, they haven't agreed on it. But I would imagine he's going to agree at some point in the range of $10.5-$11 million in arbitration. So I think his value is the highest right now. 2 years left, like I mentioned, you can find a team who thinks or maybe knows that their winning window is open and it matches that time frame, whether they think they can re-sign him or not. That's a completely different subject. I think his value is the highest right now. I would say if you're the Milwaukee Brewers and you're not going to re-sign him, then you got to really seriously consider trading him now, at least going up into this season. But when you talk about negotiations and you talk about what the asking price is, I think your negotiations at least have to start at name the organization in your top two, top three, two out of your top three prospects in whatever that farm system is, right? That's got to be the, for me, that's the start of it. And if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, you're probably not going out to get a Corbin Burns for a current player on a deal, right? You're going to want to rebuild, retool that farm system, get a little bit of, you know, pieces for the future. And you heard the conversation, and if you didn't hear it, you can go back, and I think it was last week, Wednesday, with Connor Newcomb, host of the Locked On Orioles. And he asked me the same question, and in regards to what a trade package would look like for a guy who's won a Cy Young, who pitched over 200 innings last year. For them, for the Orioles, it starts at Jackson Holliday, who's, I believe, their number one prospect. If not, he's your number two. That's where it starts. It's got to be high. Like, the asking price has got to be high. But on the other side of that, on the flip side of that, teams aren't dumb, right? These guys get paid too. They're smart. Most of them have a college education, have a been in a Major League Baseball organization for X amount of years. They know how the system works, and they also know that it's highly unlikely that the Milwaukee Brewers will sign him. So does that lessen the negotiations a bit if you're an opposing team? If you're a guy, pick up Team X, pick up the phone. Hey, Mark, I know you're not going to sign him. Here's what I'm going to offer you, and that's it. Do you wait it out? That's the problem. That's the issue that the Milwaukee Brewers are going to face. But his value is the highest now. Cy Young, 200 innings last year, absolute solid year. The control is what I think is going to draw to a lot of teams. He's not a pending free agent, right? You got control over him for the next 2 years. If you're a team that you think can compete for a championship in the next 1 to 2 years, he's got to be a guy that's on number one on your list, I would imagine, if you're out there looking for a starting pitcher. So, well, I would say I'm curious to see how this plays out. I'm worried as well to see how this plays out, but great stuff there. Great question. Let's see here. We can squeeze in one more. Absolutely. Let's go out to Jason, who follows us on Twitter. He asks, what would be realistic expectations for the rookies, especially those that are expected to get serious at bats? I'm assuming your Mitchells, Terrains, Weimer, maybe. But I think for me, Jason, outside of giving you the numbers, right? I think for me, it's just continue to get better throughout the course of the year. It's going to be hard, right? If you're the Milwaukee Brewers, to expect the same numbers out of, let's say, Bryce Terrain, that what he had down in Nashville, right? In AAA. It's going to be hard. And for a guy like Terrain, since we're on Terrain, he's basically learning how to play a new position. I know people are going to come at me and say he can play second. I think he can too. I agree. However, he only has 7 career games at second base. So it's going to be where his head is at mentally, more so versus, you know, is he worried about hitting? Is he worried about fielding? Is it, you know, hopefully playing in the major league level is going to be a daunting task on its own. I think you're going to see Toro get some time there. I think you're going to see Terrain obviously get some time at second. Mitchell, I would expect kind of what you expected last year. Get that guy on base, man. Whatever you got to do defensively, he's about as stout as it gets out in the outfield. I think Fangraphs had him projected at center field. I could be wrong there, but I thought he was at center with Yelich and Winker both in the corners. But look, as there is with any rookies, right, you're going to have highs and lows, and that's expected. Really, anybody in Major League Baseball, Aaron Judge has his lows, right? And when it comes to the MLB season, which is longer than any other sport, it's just, it's going to happen. And for me, I just show me that you belong, right? If that's a 2-week flash of really good, solid production, right? If it's a 3-week, maybe it's only a week, but show me that you belong. Show me that the future, the excitement, the hype is real. And once you do that, for me as a Brewers fan, I'm good, right? I'm good. I'm not expecting you to come out and hit 330, you know, bat with a 150 OPS plus, right? Just show me that you belong. Come up here. Show me those flashes. You're going to have highs and lows. Get on base. Have fun, but just show me that you belong. And for that, that's really all I'm asking for. So great question, though. I appreciate that, Jason. It's a great question. Thank you all again for those questions. I tell you guys, I cannot do this without you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every single one of you are just awesome. Thank you for following the show. Thank you for interacting with me. Thank you for interacting with the show. Thank you for tuning in. And if I didn't get to your question, I will next week. I promise I do these weekly. If I don't do it on Monday, I will do it on a Tuesday like we did today, but I will get back and answer your questions. Don't think I forgot about you. Thank you guys, all of you, for making this podcast part of your daily routine. You can find the Locked On Brewers podcast everywhere you get your podcasts. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook at Locked On Brewers. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Snide. Thank you for making Locked On Brewers your first listen each and every day. It means the absolute world to me. For your next listen, though, check out the Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he is going deep on the MLB stars tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Again, thank you for tuning in to hear me ramble about our Milwaukee Brewers. Until next time, be safe, stay warm out there, and of course, go Brewers.